Now, this morning, I imagine you there in your bed surrounded by a little sea of chocolate eggs. There is an industry out there striving to keep up with that demand, our greedy appetites.
Oh, Augustus, please, don't do that. My chocolate must never be touched by human hands. Please, don't do that. Don't do that. You're contaminating my entire river.
That's where it comes from. A scene from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Augustus Gloop falling into that river of chocolate. Like the movie, like that river, the world's demand for chocolate, it's powering along. More than 4 million tonnes of cocoa to be processed this year. Australians love to indulge. Especially today, we're actually world champion consumers of chocolate, especially at Easter. Should we question this guilty pleasure? Does it come at a moral cost? Professor Rachel Ankeny is from the School of History and Politics, leader of the Food Values Research Group at the University of Adelaide. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning to you and happy Easter.
Thank you. Well, there's a question. Why do we eat chocolate at Easter?
So the connection with chocolate is a relatively new one, but the shapes that the chocolates come in go back to even pagan times. So eggs, rabbits, chicks, these are all symbols of rebirth, and that was very traditional. And then Christianity picked it up and merged it into their festivals, as they did with all sorts of other things. And Easter, as a time of rebirth, adopted those symbols. And then the egg kind of became used as a toy in Victorian times. But as chocolate became more accessible, less expensive, as sugar prices came down and confectionery became popular in Europe in the early 19th century, they started actually making chocolate eggs.
We're talking later in the program about some of those, well, the pagan origins of what occurs in Easter, that after eight. And Rachel, the chocolate thing then is, well, there's sort of a commercial element. I can understand the egg, the rebirth, chocolate's kind of an unnecessary accessory to that basic message, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the chocolate's just a form that it takes rather than toys and whatever else. But we love, in general, Western developed countries love to have chocolate for special occasions. It's just a very, it's become a traditional thing in Europe and obviously here in Australia as well.
How much are we going to get through in Australia today?
The figures, if you sort of project out of the last few years, we were up around $200 million worth of chocolates for Easter alone. And Christmas still beats Easter out here in Australia, but there's huge spikes in the Easter period where we're eating large amounts in a really small time period. Still only puts us sixth in the world, about 5 kilograms per person per year, nowhere close to Switzerland. They eat about 9 kilograms per person per year, but still quite high compared to everywhere else outside a few countries in Europe, basically.
Can we eat this stuff in good conscience?
It depends what you're eating, and it depends on what your conscience is bothered by.
Ooh, okay.
This is a sort of typical question. So
these are the parameters.
The ethical issues people raise are things like palm oil and whether it's included because of the sustainability issues. That one's pretty easy. You can check the label. It won't say palm oil, but if it mentions veggie oil or other things, you should investigate that if you're concerned about palm oil and the habitats. Lots of chocolates don't, in fact, contain those ingredients. That one's pretty easy. Fair trade is probably the biggest one that many people are concerned about, and so that relates to the fact that cacao is produced primarily in West Africa, about 80%, and half of that is in the Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire. And although it's processed elsewhere, particularly Europe, North America, a certain extent here, it's that production where there's a lot of concern about the working conditions and pay. So,
paint us a bit of a picture of that. I mean, let's go to a typical place producing those beans in West Africa.
So typically, sort of traditionally, they would have been quite family-run or extended family-run. It does mean children are often working within that context. More recently, some countries, certainly there's a lot of not-for-profit organizations, have attempted to then improve those conditions to make sure people are working decent hours, they have decent conditions, particularly with regard to exposure to pesticides, herbicides, what we would call occupational health and safety, and that they're getting fair pay for their product. And so this is where the certification regimes came in place for fair trade. A couple different organizations do it, but they all share looking at working conditions, pay, environmental sustainability of the crops, but also they make contributions back to the community. So to make sure there's adequate health services, education, and so on, even if families are working, that they are, in fact, having good living conditions coming out of it. If those are things you are concerned about, you can look for one of those forms of certification.
Is chocolate one of those things that is a sign of a growing, a developing economy in markets like China, for example?
Yes.
What are we seeing happening to the demand
for
chocolate?
So we're starting to see a lot of increasing consumption in those kind of emerging locales with large populations, particularly China, but also India. Places in South America, interestingly enough, where they might even grow it, sort of the emerging middle class, we might say, in those countries, like Western-style luxury goods, and chocolate is clearly one of them. Wine, there's all sorts of other goods now making inroads in those markets. Hence, people have been a little bit nervous about what's going to happen to availability if, you know, there's such an increased demand. Mm. We're seeing a bit of a trade-off because the global financial recession seems to have resulted in people perhaps eating a little bit less chocolate or not spending as much. The supply that was threatened doesn't seem to be as highly threatened as was feared a few years ago, but this is a wait and see. It sort of does depend on how sharply those emerging markets increase their consumption.
And to go back to those ethical questions, I mean, the things around fair trade, around child slavery, are they, as demand increases, will that increase the pressure on production? Will that exacerbate some of those issues?
It may. I mean, one of the arguments the bigger manufacturers used is they would have loved to improve the conditions, but they couldn't maintain their product and only source fair trade chocolate. There's some global agreements to aim towards complete kind of compliance in 2020, you know, that kind of timeline. But it may well put pressure and even heighten the price of these fair trade products, which do tend to be, particularly here in Australia, quite a bit more expensive. They've come down in price. In England, there isn't as much of a price differential. So there's been some complaint that, you know, we're unnecessarily being pushed, you know, at the marketplace towards lower end products because the fair trade is just so high priced.
So it's a bit late for us this Easter, Rachel, yeah. but yes. what should we look for in our chocolate purchases? What will give us a clearer conscience?
I think if you're concerned about fair trade in particular, look for the fair trade certification labeling. They're fairly robust standards. You can look at the backdrop to it if you want to really do your research. If you're concerned about palm oil, as I said, check the label. You might care about organic. And again, you can look at the certification. That has different implications, has nothing really to do with trade. You might think about buying local. Lots of people like to support local manufacturers. You still need to ask where they're getting their chocolate from. But a number of the more boutique manufacturers in the different capital cities are using fair trade chocolate.
Can we grow it in this country?
There's very limited amount, but there are people growing it, again, the more boutique kind of manufacturers. There's limited amounts. The final thing is you might think about, you know, do you want to support a cause by your purchase? So the sort of Easter bilby phenomenon, which was a pushback against popularizing rabbits, because rabbits obviously aren't necessarily what we want to be proud of here in Australia. But you have to look at the labels and ask, most of the manufacturers who produce Easter bilbies donate a percentage back to conservation, wildlife, and bilby rescue in particular. So that's another thing, you know, you can kind of vote with your dollar through your choice of Easter chocolate.
Complicated but important, Rachel. Thank you.
Thank you, and a happy Easter again.
And to you. Rachel Ankeny, Professor in the University of Adelaide's Food Values Research Group, School of History and Politics there, is helping us understand more the culture and ethics of a very important topic on this day of all days, the ethics of chocolate consumption and production. Yes, I know, it's very ABC. But you've got to think about these things. There you are, surrounded by a sea of eggs.